today, one of my favourite webinars to do. We're going to spend an hour or so with Jason and Kirsty Brown from Jason Brown Plumbing in Wellington, just sharing some of the lessons and learnings that they've had over the last couple of years. Lots of wins, lots of cool things to share, lots of great progress. So we'll do that in a minute. Really, really looking forward to that. And if you guys have got questions as we go through, jump in and ask them as well. Alrighty, so we're going to jump straight in, and I'll dial Jason and Kirsty up here, and we'll get into it. So I'll just unmute you guys, Jason and Kirsty, so and I'll send you a webcam request, which we should be good to go. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Awesome. So, hey, great to have you guys here today. Really looking forward to talking through your story and seeing what you've been up to. So as we go through, team, if you have some questions, just shout them out. I'll pop them in at the appropriate time, and we'll just get into it. So I guess to kick off, team, just describe, you know, introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about yourselves and the business.
Well, I'm Jason, this is Kirsty. We have three children, 8, 10 and 12 years old. We're based in Petone in Wellington. We're predominantly residential plumbing, gas fitting. We do a little bit of drainage, a little bit of commercial, quite a lot of maintenance. We're a crew of five tradesmen, two apprentices, and 2.5 in the office at this stage. And hopefully growing.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess to kick off, guys, let's just talk about, like, we've worked together for 2 years. Jason and Kirsty are part of our boardroom program as well. So they've made some really, really cool progress, and I guess today is sharing about that. But maybe we just go back to the start and talk about when we first, you know, met and talked. Why did you actually reach out for some help, and why did you join the Million Dollar Tradie program?
So it was me that saw your messages and thinking, oh yeah, this is what Jason needs. And Jason was a bit like, oh no, it's don't need any help. This person keeps on bugging me. And I said, and I had a look at it and I thought, oh, you know what, I think this could, you know, could be the answer to you know, a few issues that we were having. Obviously I wasn't in the business at all at the time. I was working for someone else. And so I did the first Tony set up, and I remember that first meeting, Jason wasn't even home, you know, like 1 second to go, and he comes through the door, and it's like, quick. So we had that first, I think it was that 15-minute talk,
yep.
And we had that 15-minute talk, and then you said, well, do the alignment, or we had another hour's talk, and we did that, and we were like, yeah, we need a lot of help for the next step. So we joined, and I pretty much came into the business, and we went from there, really, didn't we?
Yeah, because I mean, I was probably full time. Well, I was full time on the tools and doing all the invoicing and everything else as well. And I mean, I was just I basically had enough. I was kind of strung out. I was probably on the verge of just giving up and just going back on the tools and working for someone else, because it was you know, we were doing okay. You know, we kind of didn't not go without, but it was just bloody hard work. It was, you know, just deal with that. Was back in McKenzie, so yeah.
So when we first talked, what was the team? It was just you and McKenzie?
Yep, pretty much.
And he was an apprentice, probably, what, a couple of years?
Yeah, 2 years in, yeah. Yep. Yeah, and yep. We were just starting out, we were just going for it.
Yeah. And what sort of hours and commitment were you putting into the business?
Oh, I would hate to think. I'd probably do maybe 50 hours a week on the tools and then maybe another 30 in the office. I mean, especially at the end of months, I'll be up to like 2 in the morning, you know, getting invoices out and pricing and things like that. I mean, I remember McKenzie saying to me, you know, he'd come in some mornings and I'd be like, you know, eyes strung out because I'm so tired. But, you know, we just keep going and going and going. And we didn't really know any better, you know. Yeah.
And how was that affecting, I guess, the business, and probably more importantly, you know, your family situation and you guys personally?
I guess I was always the one doing, you know, everything, running the household, running, we've got rentals, so doing all those, and also with the kids, just I would be the one taking them to after-school activities or going to their sports days. Yeah, and there's a lot of weekends where Jason worked as well, so always just, you know, I just take care of the kids all the time and the kids or their dad, you know, every now and then, but never came to... you know, it's school athletics days or anything like that. Never could make it. So yeah, just didn't happen.
And I kind of had my priorities around the wrong way. So I was putting on my customers were always first. You know, like they'd ring up in the weekend and I'd go and do their jobs and miss out on my kids' sports or a trip or something. You know, and it was just it was all kind of ass about face really. Yeah.
Yep. So they were spinning the wheel in a way.
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. Yep, they would call and I'd jump.
Yep. And how did that, you know, affect you personally, Jason?
Oh, I mean, I was stressed to the max. You know, I was anxious. I was, you know, I'd dread Sunday nights because I had to think about all the stuff that I needed to get done through the week. So it was a pretty tough time for me. It wasn't very pleasant at all. And, of course, that kind of impacted on us as well, so.
But I didn't really know that he was actually stressed. He didn't really, you know, at times he wouldn't say, oh, look, I'm really anxious, I need help here, and he wouldn't ask for help. But he'd probably get crabby, probably.
Yeah, well, when a bloke gets crabby, it's a cry for help, Kirsty.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. So let's just talk about the key areas that you've focused on. To make changes in the business. So you've done a lot of stuff, so maybe we'll just work through them. Is that cool?
Yeah. So number one, I came on board and I didn't get into invoicing straight away, but I sort of worked on, we decided that we needed people straight away. So I worked on position descriptions, adverts, and starting that whole core values, writing, you know, a vision, I guess, we started with.
Because we had no goals.
We had no goals, so we thought, right, let's put a vision together. And so we did that, and then we worked on the core values, what we wanted to, wanted our people to, you know, follow. We did the rules of the game, things like that. So then we, and because we used Fergus, and so I had no idea of even, you know, like anything that Jason had done with, you know, to the point to get it out to invoicing, I had absolutely no idea, so had to completely learn that.
So you started doing invoicing?
Me?
Yeah.
I do. Yeah. So I pretty much do all the invoicing now, and admin lady does just the smaller jobs, but, if there's some bigger jobs that I'm not really sure, you know, Jason still helps out.
It's probably an important thing is how did you get familiar with that and get yourself up to speed? Because it's a challenge a lot of people, you know, find hard to get their head around.
Oh, right, okay. So I guess I sat down with Jason one night, I think, and he sort of went through it quite quickly, like reconciliations and things like that. So I was like, oh, crikey, you know, I'll get my head around that. But just sitting down and, like, I was just starting off with, like, little invoices, so I didn't do those big ones. And so, you know, for the daily job, guys have gone out, all the materials. The next day, the CSV file comes in, and then you look at the, you know, like, the docket that they've got, what products they've used, what they hadn't, so you make those adjustments. You look at the hours, you look at the description, you pretty up the description, you know, make it all sound all right. And just sort of, you've got to be a bit sort of look at the job, look at the description and sort of think, oh, okay, so these materials, or whatever, think, oh, I don't think there is, you know, this system tech that he's talking about it on the, or isolation valve or whatever, on the invoice. So, you know, then I go to Jason and go, oh, is that supposed to be on there? So I don't do that so much now because I'm sort of understanding all that stuff. And the guys are pretty good in getting those materials, because I'm quite particular and, you know, making sure that they get all those materials on right.
Yeah, I think it was important because all of it was in my head. We had nothing written down on paper. So, yeah, so that's what we had. That's what we started to do, was just to write a whole lot of stuff down. So everything that I did, whatever process I did to do invoicing or loading a job or whatever, we started writing down. And then it was easier to transfer it to someone else so that they could, you know, and then that's how we kind of delegated. That's how now we obviously delegate a lot of stuff because it's all written down.
Yeah, so we started the admin manual as soon as I started to learn how to do things and I'd write it. Of course, now things have changed, so I'm always updating or trying to update the
manual. Yeah, for sure. So, you need a system for keeping the systems up to date.
Yeah, it's just like...
Because they're constantly changing.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, cool. And how long did it take you to get up to speed with the invoice?
Oh, I don't know. Couple of months.
Yeah, it wasn't that long. I mean, Fergus was pretty easy to understand.
Yeah.
So probably a couple of months, I think. And Kirsty had to get around most of it.
Yep. Cool. Yeah. Okay. So cool. What were the other areas that you focused on?
So then we went into advertising for more staff.
Yeah.
So we did that and the process around hiring the interviews. Probably the first time, probably didn't do everything that we should have. But, we've learned as we go. So we did that. And then the next thing...
What did you, just on that point, because this is probably, I think you've done pretty well with your hiring. You've gone from basically, one employee to six or seven over 2 years, which is good going. So what did you learn about the hiring process? The little points of distinction, the subtleties that have really helped you?
I think the main thing that we didn't do was that, because we were looking at the disc profiles, but we didn't do them. And we didn't ask all the questions, because we used your one-on-one, and we used the phone calls as well. We didn't ask all the questions. And so I think the questions are really good because you get an idea of how they, how they interact with you and how they, think. For example, Kirsty interviewed a lady for an office job and all her answer was like, oh, that's a really hard question. And then she just answered everything like that. She couldn't kind of think on her feet, whereas, you're kind of looking for someone that can, make a decision, So that was one thing that we learnt. And the other thing was those disc profiles, because I think if we had done those earlier on, we would have been able to notice a couple of little things sooner that we've learned along the way.
Such as?
Just how people work differently and how you've got to manage them to get the most out of them.
And some people can't problem solve or make it difficult. Or when they get onto a job, they've got all these ideas of what to do, but they don't actually just hit one and go with it. They're just like, and fuss around, wondering, which way should I do this, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
It's like, you have to make the decision, you have to get on with it, we don't have time to, muck around. We've only quoted this amount of hours, blah, blah, blah.
Like following instructions and things like that. But also I think it kind of showed us too that we needed to be clear in what we wanted the guys to do, and that's where a lot of our checklists and systems and that came from. Because some of these people, they really need to have everything clear and explained properly. And if there's any measure of a doubt, then they kind of go into like a default mode of, what do I do? Yeah.
Sure. So one of the things that I've noticed from the sideline is I think the way you come across, your presence, et cetera, is quite professional. And obviously when you're hiring that, we talk about being the employer of choice or the unique hiring proposition, if you like. Have you given that a lot of conscious thought, or is that just something that you think has happened?
I think something's just happened.
I just think, yeah.
Like 2 years ago, I wouldn't have seen myself where I am now. Like, I absolutely hated talking in big groups and things like that. I was very quiet, and I still am. For me, it's been a big change, real big change.
Sorry, Kirsty, carry on.
Last night we interviewed a guy that's in Queenstown, and he's talked to some Wellington companies as well, and he was really on to us. Look, I like what you're, he's gone on our website, and I've already had a chat with him. And last night he was sort of saying, I've been to the other couple of people, and they haven't really come back to me. or you've spoken to them, but he liked what we are sort of, you know, like what we are doing. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think that, I know you hired someone recently who looked at 6 or 7 different companies around the area and chose to go with you. So that all the internal processes and how the business looks from the outside are really pretty important when you're hiring, I think, is something that I've observed anyway. So brilliant. Okay. So hiring, what else have you focused on?
Well, after that, we looked at doing the website, because obviously I didn't have a website. Well, I did, but it was pretty shit. So obviously we got you guys on board and created the website, which then in turn created a lot of work. And so then it it became even busier. Before that,
because we got Brendan, who was a guest fitter, we did a big push on guest fitting. So we did like a
Infinity installation, you know, like
we did a mail out to our existing customers.
And that was an email.
Yeah. Just to existing customers, no new ones, yeah. And we had, we got 10 jobs out of that in 1 week.
Yeah.
And that was Infinity conversions. So that worked really well.
Yeah, and then the website.
And then you did the SEO off that, didn't you? That worked pretty
well. Yeah. So last year we did that, you know, had a guy work on the website for quite a wee while, just to get, you know, us up. We're always on that first page of, you know, the right keywords and things like that. Do the Google AdWords, obviously. But I just got the SEO guy to come back in and do some more tweaking and all that, because everyone's cottoning on.
It's a constantly evolving thing for sure. Okay. And what else did you do on the marketing front? You've done a few cool things there.
Yeah, so we did that builder's letter as well. So we had that when you came down to do that case study. Obviously, we did the client testimonial and we got that videoed. We did put it onto little wrench USBs and wrote, you know, that letter around that and sent that out. So we got, but it's an ongoing thing. Got to get more out. It's just going to be constantly. So we did some LinkedIn things. I mean, I just have been, you need to get back into that. But anyway, LinkedIn and did some Facebook marketing and things like that. But obviously we could do more on that. It's just really finding the time. We've sort of become very, very busy. So you sort of get pulled into the day-to-day stuff.
Okay, and that happens. You grow, need more resources. You've got to put more capacity in and understand. Okay, what other areas have you really focused on?
I guess right back at the start too, we had to look at our numbers because I didn't know anything about the business. So Kirsty handled all the accounts and everything, so I knew absolutely nothing. I've got a lot of trust for Kirsty, and that's, you know, I think what a lot of tradesmen do, that, you know, do have a partner in it. We started looking at that, looking at our margins of the jobs that we were sending out, because we wouldn't even, you know, I wouldn't even check the margins of the jobs that I send out,
We're only putting 10% on materials.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
So we completely changed that.
So we did some back costing in here. We were making like 15% on some jobs, which is probably not even worth getting out of bed for this year. So we look at all our invoices before we send them out. And then we started pricing all our jobs for the margin that we wanted to do them, which was like a huge change for us.
Yes.
Yep. And it is quite a big mindset, because before we would have every quote accepted, and now we get a lot that don't get accepted, and I feel, why aren't they accepting our quotes? But that's fine.
So you back cost, you effectively back cost every invoice before you send it out for your time and materials.
Pretty much, look at the margin.
Just have a quick look. Yeah, it doesn't normally take long. The little ones we'll just send out, but yeah, a lot of them we'll just quickly check and just have a quick look.
Yep. Okay. And in terms of budgets, KPIs, and that sort of stuff, what are you doing now?
Well, we do your sheet every month.
Yeah. You do it quite well.
Yeah. So I always, you know, look at the sales, and there's sales GPs, you know, looking at all that. So that's something we've never done before. and so really, really tracking that just to make sure. And sometimes you have really good months, and then sometimes you come under, and you know, and you're looking back, why is that? And, you know, staff away, sick days, all that sort of stuff. Because
work for friends and family.
Oh, work for friends and family.
Yeah, I remember one month like that.
Oh, yes. Jesus, that was our killer month. We got smashed on that month.
Never again. No.
Okay. Hey, we'll just take a pause for a minute, guys. Hey, if you've got any questions that you want to blast in for Jason and Kirsty, please pop them down, and I'll just drop them in as we go through. Or you can save them up for the end if you want, but sometimes it's good just to ask as we're going through. So feel free to ask any questions you've got. It'll be fantastic. I think that's a good part of today as well. So numbers, we've had a look at those. Any other areas that you've really focused on that have been important for you?
Moving out of home, buying our own premises.
Yep.
So that was a big thing because we had crap all around the house and garage was full, never been able to park my car in the garage. and removing that away from home. So now Jason doesn't really work in the office all the time at home. So we're just trying to separate that work. Yep. Life balance.
That's probably what I would have said, is we've got a little bit more of a kind of work-life balance. So you can, you know, when you've got that separate premises, you can lock the door, you know, you can leave and you can lock the door, and you're pretty much, you know, you'll have your phone and your laptop, but
Okay, got a couple of questions, team, which we might just jump into. So Michelle and Graham, Kirsty, do you work full-time 40 hours a week in the business?
Pretty much at the moment. I had a full-time staff member and now she's gone back to part-time. I have just employed another one that's starting in October. So I've got two now, so I'm doing a two shifts. So if someone's sick, at least I've got someone in at some part of the day. I was finding the admin lady, if she's sick, and then I was like, oh, God, I've got to get the kids out. I've got to quickly get down to the office and work all day and then get the kids, you know, I have to get the kids and then I go, you know, I work at home and the kids are there. So I really had to look at that and figure out, because the admin lady did take a sick time, it was just quite frustrating. Yeah, it's just hard work. So anyway, now, and I've even got another person who comes on a Friday just to, you know, learn as well. So I've got another sort of back up as well. So it's just because I really want to pull myself out a bit, and because I'm at the moment project managing, I'm doing all the, you know, invoicing, office scheduling, the whole lot. So it does become a bit much, but now that I've sort of got a few people, I'm thinking I can pass this.
And I guess what I've observed you know, as we've worked together, is when you've got some, you know, some really good skills in marketing and business improvement and kind of at a strategy level, and when you've been able to free yourself up to work on that stuff, it's been really helpful.
I need to free myself up again to be able to get back into that. You know, it's just, or, you know, just like the processes, just wanting to get back into there and, you know, fix those up a bit and all that, and I'm just not getting the time at the moment, but with having a few people that can just take care of the day-to-day.
Yeah, one of the key things, I guess, that I've observed that's helped you be successful, that is, from time to time, you've had capacity to really work on the business and that's seen it grow, and then obviously you need a bit more resources and you probably get pulled back into the day-to-day stuff a bit more, and then you've got to build the next level, which is cool to hear you doing that again. Hey, another question here from Stephanie. What helped Jason to feel he could step away from the tools and work on the business? Great question.
I think it was just the realisation that I had to. I mean, I like being on the tools, but I could kind of see, you know, once we started to set some goals, I could kind of see that it was the quickest way for me to get to where we wanted to be. I think it was just that I basically just made a conscious decision that, look, this is what I need to do. And it's really, and I mean, I've been learning so much by coming off the tools as well. I've got a better understanding of the business and how things run and all that kind of stuff. So. And plus, you know, I manage the guys now as well, so I've had to learn all that, you know, kind of dealing with all their little dramas and the things that happen. But, I mean, I think it was a pretty easy decision. It was just, I just had to do it. And
yeah. It was an idea whose time had come.
I think so, yeah, yeah.
And just reflecting back, I think the fact that you really thought about your goals and your vision at the start, and you need to keep doing that, of course, quite regularly because things change. Yeah, that's a little bit of a comfort tip there. You notice? Good. Yep. that helps set your sights on a bigger goal, and you know, then the jump is something you just have to do to get there, which is awesome. Another good question. How have you managed cash flow or enough working capital? You've grown fast. That's from William Lyon, America. In Nelson, your hometown.
Oh, yeah. Yay. Right, Nelson. Favourite place. Right, yes. That has been a learning curve. So we took on a lot of staff at the end of last year, and we got to, you know, Christmas time. There were some stats, but stat days, annual leave, and tax, and GST. So, revolving credit comes in quite handy for that. I thought I even had to ask for more at some stage, because we also bought the building right on that Christmas time as well. And so then next month we're paying rent for that. So it was interesting times, but now I'm really making a conscious effort, because then I've got an ACC bill, because of course you've got staff, and this is just never ending. So now I'm just trying to put money away into like a savings account for all those sorts of things that come up unexpectedly. But then, you need them. You have to be on to your clients about paying the bills. So, you have all these outstanding bills, and so you just got to get on the phone and do that debt collection, because a lot of people either haven't received the bill because the email address has been wrong when it's submitted, or there's just, they haven't got it. Some people don't have email, post is slow. So it's just constantly calling for that money to come in, and then because you're always paying for purchases as well, and if you go with Plumbing World, you have to pay weekly. Cash flow can be up and down. So I do try and, have a look at what money is going to be coming in and what's going out, doing those cash flow forecasts, but also just having a revolving credit.
Yeah, that's a couple. One thing that you guys have pretty solid gross margins.
Yep.
Yeah. So yep. They're around 40, sometimes above, sometimes a little bit below, but definitely in that ballpark. So largely you've managed to fund the growth through cash flow.
Yeah. We bought one vehicle. So we bought Jason's vehicle about 2 years ago, and I just paid cash for that. But then last year we took on three, new people, and I bought one vehicle because it was second hand, so I could pay cash for that. And then the other two I've put on, paying off over 3 years. And so that was another thing, because we've always tried to pay like sort of cash for things, but you've really got to maybe look at that and just do your longer term pay off, because you need that money. You always need money. You've never got
you want to match the cash flow with the useful life of the asset sometimes. You don't have to pay cash every time.
Even
though it does save you a bit of interest, but it just completely stuffs your working capital. So it's a balancing act. But strong margins are crucial to funding growth. Otherwise, it's tricky, for sure. Okay. I might just ask one other question. Adam's in Adelaide. He said, hey, guys, once you started backcosting and pricing for margin, did your number of invoice complaints go up, and how did you deal with pricing complaints?
No.
I hope you're not looking for problems, Adam.
No, I didn't. Not at all. It was just, you just...
We even put our hourly rates up.
Yeah.
And we had no kickbacks.
Yeah. It's just, it is what it is. And, beforehand, you just put, 10 or 15% on materials, but now they just go out at retail. So it's all, I don't have to muck around with anything. It's just what it is.
Yeah.
Haven't had any problems.
There's been a few... because a lot of the existing customers, were obviously existing customers, they just kind of valued the service that we provided. And so, once I kind of realised, and I think this is a thing that a lot of younger plumbers nowadays need to realise is that the trade that I've got is really valuable, and I think we, as a trade, we value ourselves. And so once I kind of saw that, I had no problems putting our rates up, putting our margins up, because it's what we're worth. You know, we work bloody hard at what we do, and I think we deserve it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not that I'm trying to rip people off. We still offer a really good service. You know, we're really customer orientated, and we'll do, you know, what we can to give our clients the best that we can. The only kickback we've had is basically from new people that, you know, and we qualify them anyway when they ring up, and we tell them our hourly rate, what our service charge.
Can you just explain to people what you do there? Because that's something I talk about a lot, but it'd be good to hear your take on it.
So when people call in and they want us to come out to do a some plumbing work, we just say that we've got a 150 service fee, which includes, you know, the first 45 minutes vehicle and travel to site.
And including GST.
And so, you know, people have got pain, they want it to be solved, so pretty much 80% of people will say, yep, no, that's fine. 20% will be like, oh, that's expensive, oh, I'm going to go somewhere else. It's like, yep, that's fine. See ya. Now that's a big mindset change too.
Yeah. So good. Okay. So that's cool. Are there any other areas that you've worked on that you think have been important?
Gosh,
it's been a lot.
Yeah.
It's been a lot over the years.
The systems really.
And yeah, I suppose, you know, creating that culture, I guess, within the team. So, you know, making sure that we're all on the same page, that we're all, you know, that we're here to do a job, and it is a job, but, you know, it's so much more than that. You know, it's like development within the company if they want. You know, if that's what they want, learning how to quote and you know, look after guys and all that kind of stuff.
Run
just
your own jobs.
Yeah.
But also you put in performance reviews, which we, you know, haven't done that before. And, you know, you have a weekly meeting with at least one team member a week, 15-minute catch-up just to see how they're going, if they've got any, you know, questions or concerns or anything.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's just like that managing people, I guess, which we've never had to do before.
I think you've done a great job with that. I mean, I know we've had a few discussions about how to deal with particular situations, and you've had a few challenges pop up.
Yep.
And it seems to me that you've, you know, really dealt with them as people and respected them as people, understood that the issues they're having aren't necessarily because they're bad or Muppets, the technical term I use, but it's because, hey, they've got some issues like the rest of us.
Yep.
And if you can really help them with that, that can turn them into, you know, that can certainly get them back on track and help them appreciate what you've done and maybe build a better long-term thing.
Yeah, definitely, because I mean we always do a Monday morning kind of toolbox meeting, and that's like a situation where they can bring things up within a group, but quite often a lot of things they don't, you know, people don't want to talk about, so the one-on-one catch-ups we normally do it on a Friday morning because it's just pretty cash.
Yep.
You know, you'd be surprised what you get out of people, eh? Because even the little things that you notice, the changes in their moods and their the way they do things,
yeah.
You know, you can just go to them and just go, hey, mate, what's up? You know, I've noticed that you've been a bit, like, on edge or whatever. And yeah, they want someone to listen, eh? It's amazing.
Yes.
It's really
huge.
Amazing.
They just want to feel like you care and that you understand. In fact, even just listening is a huge part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what my wife keeps telling me anyway, so all good. Adam from Adelaide said, righto, I'm coming to work in New Zealand because you don't get any complaints about pricing.
Oh.
You're welcome, buddy, anytime.
Oh, don't worry. I've had one that came back to me and she said, look, I employed plumbing services. How you got there, because we have a vehicle charge, how you got there is none of my concern, so I'm not paying the vehicle charge. So we do get that off track, so we just put a blacklist on your name and not going to go back. So sorry.
Good stuff. Okay, so maybe we just switch gears a little bit and we can talk about, we kind of touched on that, I guess, actions. What specific actions did you take under each area? One thing I'd like to talk about with the pricing is what have you done to systemize that side of things? Because I know you do some of the pricing as well, Kirsty.
Yep.
Yes.
Quoting. Yes. Through Fergus, I mean, it's been an ongoing kind of process, but we've every quote that we do, we we make a template of it. Because a lot of things are the same, you know, bathrooms and all that. I mean, everyone knows a bathroom's pretty much X amount of fittings, and then, you know, you kind of just customise it slightly to suit. So we've been going through Fergus and using what we've got available through Fergus, which can be limited at times, to just speed the process up, really. So we've got lots of templates. We've got lots of descriptions saved, and we can pretty much just cut and paste them or bring them through from Fergus. And that speeds things up, especially for those kind of infinities and bathrooms and the more stuff. And then also it just allows Kirsty and the office ladies to, if it is like a smaller job, they can just find a similar price within our favourites and just use that as an estimate and just say, hey, look, this we did a job similar. You know, this is a ballpark figure. How do you feel about that?
Yeah.
And quite often we get good results with that.
Awesome. Okay. So that means it's not something that you have to do either. Now you've got, just in terms of the setup in the office and the structure, maybe just talk us through that a little bit, because you've been playing with that and made a few changes both in terms of office people, but also Paddy and his role.
So, I guess the office, just me and Suzanne at the moment, it's increasing. But we've also taken on Paddy, and he had owned his own business. And so he's been doing...
that might be actually something good to touch on, because you effectively bought the business and brought him in, yeah?
Yeah.
I've known Paddy for quite a number of years, and I just overheard him in one of the suppliers just talking, you know, just venting a few frustrations, I guess. And so, yeah, I just kind of saw an opportunity, and I mean, I had missed opportunities like that before that I haven't acted on. So if you ever kind of get that gut feeling that, you know, someone is crying out for help or is looking for something to act on them, because 9 times out of 10, the people that I went back to when I'd originally heard them talking, they'd already gone and done something else, you know, so I kind of missed the boat. We just sat down and had a coffee and just had a talk, and, you know, he was working massive hours and...
Horrible clients.
Yeah, some terrible clients. And he was just strung out, and so we basically bought his company out. And he came over, you know, a few of his customers came over as well. We gave them all the option. And, and so he came in as like a senior plumber, because he's a certifying plumber guest fitter. And he really just started helping me, kind of getting all the quote templates and everything together. So, I mean, at times there's two, you know, certifying plumbers in the office. But we just felt that, like, we just needed to give it a good push. You know, and just get these things done, you know.
Yep.
But of course now he's probably 50-50 now. He's out on the tools and then back in the office, you know.
Yeah, because we're losing Mackenzie, the first apprentice, today.
He's off to Australia, actually. So.
Australia.
Yeah. So, Gold Coast, if anyone needs someone.
Gold Coast, yeah.
I think Byron's Bay or something. So anyway, he's leaving. So Paddy, obviously, because struggling to find, you know, more staff, so he will be going out on the tools more, and Jason will be,
And I mean, I might have to step in every once in a while now, you know, to fill that,
Hey, I have a question. So how did you go about buying his business? How did you structure that question?
Well, we gave him some options, like every client that he brought to us that he could get paid a commission, but he actually just wanted more time off. So at the end of the day, he's got 6 weeks a year leave. And we bought his van and his stock. That's pretty much it.
So it's interesting, because what was the payoff for him was time.
Yeah.
He has 6 weeks annual leave.
For 2 years.
2 years.
And then he goes back to 4. But, yeah, he wanted to do that. And he gets... He gets, like, on a Wednesday morning, he wants to see his daughter at hockey practice. So he'll come in a bit later on a Wednesday, but leave a bit later. So just having a bit more flexibility with his family as well, because his children are older and he's realised that, you know,
they're going to be gone. Yeah, they're going to be gone. Cool. Okay, cool.
You know, in the last year or so that he's been, well, he's in bed, isn't he, yet?
Not quite.
No, quite a year. Like, the difference in him has just been, chalk and cheese.
He loves getting paid every week.
Perfect. And it is an opportunity if you're looking for good staff, you know, just because they're struggling with their own business, they could be brilliant team members. Yeah. And there's lots of opportunities there, I think, if we're looking for staff, you know, mailing out, contacting plumbers or electricians, you know, depending on your trade, who are in the local area, is something you should definitely explore anyway. Because there's bound to be law of averages, some of them who are just thinking about what they're going to do. I mean, we talk to them all the time here. We don't obviously work with smaller businesses, one or two man bands, but they definitely are always asking for help. So you might be a great solution to their problem just in general, like Jason and Kirsty did. Okay. So let's talk about outcomes, guys. So what have been the outcomes for you based on the changes you've made and the actions that you've taken?
Right. Well, not personally. You're not working so much. Yeah. But I've stepped in and probably working more than what I used to in my other role. But that's fine because we've got the common goal. You know, we went on a 3-week holiday this year. I was 2 weeks and then we were back for 4 days and off for another week. So being able to go away and know that, you know, everything is going to run smoothly was great. And for Jason not to be on the phone frigging the whole time we're on holiday. You know, when we're skiing or whatever, he's like got his phone and his helmet talking on the phone while we're up on the ski lift and then I have to wait for him. And yeah, so that was quite nice not to have him on the phone all the time. And I guess, you know, financially, the you know, the turnover's increased. I mean, all the money at the moment has been going back into, you know, any profit that we've made is going back into the company because we're sort of like wanting to develop the people. So in like a month's time, we've got a workshop for the whole team to doing this people skills workshop, and then we're going to have some fun afterwards. So yeah, the turnover, the margins, and
yeah, probably a better work-life balance. It's been important. So I'm kind of coaching my young fellas football team now. Yeah, I get to go to, you know, school activities and things like that as well, cross countries and hockey and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
I don't work in the weekends.
Yeah, yeah.
Just the little things, eh? But they, you know, you don't realise, you know, how important they are.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Let's just talk about financials. So, we started, you know, working together a couple of years ago. I mean, they're your numbers. I'm not going to go through them. That's, you can if you want. But I think if I looked at it, it's, you've got up to almost 4 times turnover.
I think it will be 3 times. Is it, yeah, turnover? Oh, when we first started.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking of last year. But yeah, it probably was.
Some months you are up to pretty much.
Oh yeah, months. Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah.
Around about three times more generally. Yeah. So, and which is a fantastic result in 2 years. I think that's, you know, that's brilliant. That's a testament to the marketing and getting the team on board. Where they go, kind of like that, don't they?
Yeah.
Just let's talk about margins. So, what sort of margins are you able to hit consistently?
I think this we're trying to consistently get at least 40% GP. So sometimes it's 39, sometimes it's 41. But we're really...
So all our maintenance work will try and be 50, 55 plus.
Yeah.
And then our kind of renovations, our bigger jobs will be around 30. And then all the stuff in between is kind of between like 35 and 45, thereabouts. But
But you pretty consistently hit that from my view of the numbers you're sending through.
Yeah,
I think it's a testament to the fact that you've got the systems in the back end with the pricing and the costing, back costing. Because I see some people do it, sometimes, but not regularly.
Yeah.
Well, that's a function of systems. That's a good lesson, I think, as well. So, and in terms of net profit margin, what's a, you know, pretty standard result? Just margin, net profit.
Yeah. 20%?
Yeah. Okay. Which is nice. So we want to be aiming for 15% to 20% net profit, and considering you've really bulked up your fixed costs, I think that's a good result.
Yeah.
Okay. What? How is it? So we talk business. Any other ways that it's? I guess the outcomes have affected you guys, business or personal.
Yeah, well, I guess it's not working at home.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I think personally for me, I mean, I've grown a lot, you know, I've learnt a lot. I'm certainly a lot nicer to be around most of 95% of the time. I'll say 90% of the time, I'm nice to be around. And I've just, you know, even though sometimes I'll admit I do get drawn back into the day-to-day running, and I think we all do it, and we're lying if we say we don't.
Totally. That's part of what makes you good as well, because you really care and you're into it.
Yeah, but at least like now I can realise that it's happening, and I can, you know, kind of adjust and then kind of refocus on something else. And also I've kind of learned to realise when I'm like getting a bit stressed out, getting a bit strung out as well. And so that's been a big thing for me too, is kind of controlling that anxiety and that kind of worry.
That's something I've really respected about you, and I know you shared about that in one of our boardroom meetings, which was brilliant. The honesty was just fantastic, because everyone else was like, oh, holy heck, that's me too. Yeah. So tell us a little bit more about that, because I think that's a big challenge for most of us. You know, what do you find the triggers are, the cues that you see, and what do you do to get back on track?
I think my biggest, it probably crept up on me, but I think my biggest thing was is that because I was flying by the seat of my pants, you know, back in the day, I didn't really know what was happening, you know, from one end to the other, from one day to the next. And so I found that the more organised I am, you know, with my day, and you know, at the end of the day, I've got things to finish off. I just write it down, or especially in the, you know, at the end of the week, when it comes to the weekend, or it comes to the Sunday, when I would have been like stressing out about what I've got to finish, I know in my head what's coming up, and I think it's just that constant, you know what's ahead, because that's what kind of would stress me out, that kind of unknown, and I think that's probably what stresses out a lot of other people, because they don't quite know what's going to happen. And so, you know, just with that kind of constant routine as such.
What is your routine? Basically, you'll download at the end of the day, get ready for the next day, download at the end of the week, get ready for the next week.
Yep.
So we really like, because I get stressed out about the schedule now, so I really like to make sure that the schedule is all sorted for the next day. And if it's not completely blocked up, I'm like, oh, what am I going to do? But Jason's like, oh, don't worry, because it'll be a call and we're going to get urgent maintenance. Like today, we're totally booked out and we're getting calls, but we can't help today. So it's sort of like letting that go a bit, that, you know, because I hadn't been in the business, and coming in and seeing that and going, oh, God, we've got to pay somebody, you know, got to make sure they're all booked up. But Jason, being in the business for a long time, knowing that calls come in and that things will work.
And there's always something to do. There's always things to
catch up. I do like to sort of have at least, and especially on a Friday, I really like to have Monday sorted, so I'm not, you know, everybody knows what we're doing on Monday, they've been to the toolbox meeting, off they go.
Yeah. It's an important discipline. Never start the day or the week until you've finished it on paper. Huge. Huge.
Yep. And another thing to find was like, especially like if I had a hard weekend or something, like if we, you know, we're not on the
razor.
Not much now, but you know, like it was just terrible. It was just like, magnified everything. You know, like, it would be like 10 times worse.
I mean, obviously you're into sports and stuff, mate. What do you guys do to look after yourselves?
I don't really do a lot now because I go to the gym just a couple of times a week, which is really not enough. I do like getting out on the road bike, but I haven't been out for a wee while. So, but you know, look, we're pretty active anyway, and we, you know,
lots of stuff for the kids.
Yeah, run around with the kids and that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I mean, that's certainly something to do more of.
Yeah, it definitely helps. So, if you've got any more questions, team, just pop them in the question field there, and I'll put them through. I do have a question from Alice. So Alice and Jamie, probably in a similar position to you guys were, you know, maybe a couple of years ago. So Alice says, what would be the average costs of off-site premises? Also, did you choose one with capacity to grow to a bigger business, or does one size kind of fit all? I guess initially it depends where you're based, Alice, because it's going to be more expensive in Wellington. There's no space. Versus maybe Hawke's Bay, where you might be able to find space a bit easier. But the second part of the question is probably a good one. Do you choose to get something that you can grow into, or just something that's going to suit now?
Well, we really wanted something close to home so that, you know, like the kids can just get to us if they needed to and not travelling too much. We were so lucky that for some reason a real estate agent contacted us and said, look, there's a building, just wants it sold, and we got it for a good price. And it is big, so it's got a sort of like, we will grow into it. We've got lots of room to do stuff with.
Yeah, I think the second part of your question, we started building 2 years ago. We started building a garage at home.
Yeah.
And that was going to be like our workshop. And I mean, look, we would have outgrown that within 6 months.
Yeah.
You know, we had a little mezzanine up the top that we were going to put a little office in, and we were going to work out of that. But yeah, look, I think if you can, I'd get something that you can grow into, because it's I was just blown away by how quickly you do grow once you start. And, you know, we've gone from, you know, two vans to looking seven, I think we've got now, seven vehicles. And, yeah, and you don't want everyone turning up on your front door on a Monday morning for a toolbox meeting.
And it just creates a bit of fit when you're hiring staff as well. It's another little thing. You can take it's all organised, which is fantastic. What you can do, Alison, and other people, is if you get something that's a little bit bigger, you might be able to divide it into a couple of tenancies. So maybe rent off part of it, becomes an investment, and then maybe, you know, have them on a shorter term lease, and you might be able to use that tenancy down the track, which is a good strategy to use from time to time as well. Okay, cool. Here's a really good question from Adam and Tony. How do you manage the scheduling with regards to labour? We've found it hard to have a non-tradesperson doing this. This is a great question for you guys.
Oh, yeah.
We've talked about it a few times.
We learned this one about, what, 6 months ago?
Yeah.
So I kind of gave the guys a bit of a rundown of how the schedules work. And then, all of a sudden we kind of found out, shit, we're running out of work. Everything's like, the guys are getting in at 2 o'clock and they've got no work lined up. And basically what was happening was that the calls coming in were getting prioritised, and so they were getting scheduled straight away, but all the ongoing work wasn't being put in. And of course it was pretty much my fault, because I kind of
left it to us.
I left it to them while I was off doing other things. And before we knew it, we had no work schedule, so the guys were running out. The work was there, but it just wasn't within the system. So I handle a lot of the, I probably handle 80% of the schedule.
Just the point there, Jason, so you had someone in the office doing most of the scheduling and Kirsty sort of helping out a little bit. Yeah, okay, cool. You're on. Yep.
No, I was working on other things, yep. So now I handle probably 80% of the scheduling.
We do all the little jobs.
Yeah, these guys do all the little jobs.
Yeah, so we fit the maintenance around the jobs that Jason's probably looked at and gone, like, this week we're, you know, two bathroom renovations, boom, boom, boom. And then we'll just, now when we get a call, I've got no one available today, but tomorrow we have, and you know, we just fit it in the all next week or something.
Yep.
So we still do the scheduling, but probably just those. We have more of an idea of how long things take now. You know, you're all got valve things in the heater tank. I bloody well learnt a lot, I tell you. You know, how long hot water cylinders take, you know, compared to low pressure versus mains, you know, so we've got how long a vanity will take, and things like that, so we sort of understand more about the hours.
So I think the lesson was too, is that I handed the reins over too early, and I hadn't done enough training, and I hadn't written enough systems up to get it working properly, and the problem with what we do with lots of maintenance and small jobs is that it's constantly changing, it changes all the time. You just got to keep tweaking it and moving things around. And another thing we found was that the guys would end up with like eight jobs in one day, you know, and I'm like, I'd come in and go, holy shit, how are they going to get through like eight jobs in one day, you know, they've got an hour to do each one. Big learning curve.
So one thing I've found with the scheduling is obviously the training is crucial, and I think there is a tendency sometimes to just kind of hand it over and like, thank God someone's doing that. So obviously the training is crucial, but I think the person that you employ to do it is also crucial. So some people just cannot handle that jandle, or thong.
No. Whatever. No.
Yeah. It's not a low, a low ability job. You have to have a certain ability to handle complexity and demands. Would that be a fair comment?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So it would be good to get somebody that knows the trade, that can be the scheduler and the can do pricing and be a project manager foreman, whatever. So either we're going to be trained. Well, really could do that, but you really got to be, right.
Well, I definitely think there's a bunch of people in the program who have people who aren't tradespeople doing the scheduling, but they have a person who has those characteristics, those abilities, and also they definitely have spent some time on the training. And it takes a lot of time. Cool. Okay, good question, Adam. I hope that's kind of helpful as well.
Another thing we end up doing now is we don't like block out 2-hour jobs either. So we normally try and get jobs like little maintenance things we might, but most jobs are like half-day jobs that we block the guys out. And then if they finish early, we've got a whole list of fill-in jobs that they can come in and go, right, where's the folder? Fill-in jobs, we'll go and pick a couple in. And
that's loaded into Fergus, or do they have to actually come into the office?
Well, they can call into the office.
I think it's good to have almost like a hopper there, sitting there. You can just hop out of.
Yeah. It's better than kind of finish early and the customers, sweet, you guys have done early and a bit of time up and strung out trying to get to their next job.
Yeah, cool. How have you found Fergus as you've grown? Do you find it has limitations as you have expanded?
Well, it's been really interesting because we've been talking to some people that have thought of going to some pro and all that, because we were thinking of going to some pro. I think it's fine.
Yeah.
It works well.
It's easy to use for the guys.
Yeah. For ourselves, so there's probably a lot of things that we... that you could do that we haven't found out yet, so it's just taking the time to train. But it's easy to use, just even with the supplier invoices now, Myco's and Plumbing World just come in automatically. I like it. I really do like Fergus.
We were talking about it earlier in the week, and it's like that kind of drag and drop, so you can just kind of drag people's files over and drop them into Fergus. I mean, it does have limitations. I would like to have checklists and sheets that the guys could edit on the platform. We can't do that, so we just have to work.
I mean, there are other softwares you can use for that, which would be separate.
But if they are on a big job, I've got them one of those big plastic folder things, and I have all the specs in there for the plumbing fixtures that they're going to be putting in. And then I laminate like the checklist, and so then they can go through that. So there's a few checklists. So you've got, say, when they first arrive on site, they go through with the client, project manager, or whatever, go through what can be thrown out of the existing stuff, and then they need to check that the right product has arrived, and they can check that off as well. But then they have like a pre-line checklist, and then a finished checklist. So those are like these laminated forms that I've done, and then they just tick them off. When they come back to the office, they just rub them out and use them for the next job. And it's probably a bit quicker than having to get your phone and go through that again. I know it's sort of a more manual, but they take a picture of their finished checklist, and then that gets onto the job. So we've always got that. But it doesn't mean another thing that they have to open, and if they're in an area that's not great, technology,
And we're trying not to bog them down with paperwork as well.
I know when we talked to Brad a few months ago, Fergus was using paper-based checklists because it's very easy for the guys to use, very quick, and certainly is can work really well. So that's awesome. Okay. Just a question about the Friday morning catch-ups. Is that just one staff member per week?
Yes. Yeah.
So it's just like a 15-20 minute check-in.
Yep. I mean, Yeah, so we do like a half hour toolbox meeting on a Monday.
Yep.
And then every start of the month we actually haven't been doing it this month, but we do like an hour one where we pick like one thing that's come up, you know, like grinders or something. One guy cut his arm with a grinder, knocked him out for him, but another one. So we cover something like that. Then on a Friday, yeah, I would do like a 15, 20 minute catch up. But then we've also just completed all our appraisals as well.
Yep.
So they were like one-on-ones for an hour. That we really sat down and went through everything. But one of them actually went on for 2.5 hours because there was just so much to get on, to get through. But at the end of it, you know, even though 2.5 hours seems a long time, it was a really positive outcome, I think, for both of us. So,
So those are the reviews where they do them beforehand.
That's right.
You do them, you sit down based on the templates.
Yep, that's the one. Performance appraisal. Yep.
So good. Okay. If you've got any other questions, guys, just shout them out. We'll just carry on. So what have been the big lessons, the mindset shifts that you've had? We've covered some of them, but it'd be just good to go over because I think it's been really powerful for you both that you've had through this process.
Probably actually believing in ourselves that we could do it. I mean, at the start, we probably thought, oh, no, we couldn't, you know. Yeah, before we engaged Tony, it was didn't even know what to do or how to even begin growing the business, but also not having that belief probably in ourselves that we actually could do it. So yeah. Tony's like, you know, you can do it, you know. It's like, oh, really, can we? And actually we have, and we can. We're just really ordinary people. We both didn't go to university. Jason obviously did a trade. I mean, I've been an admin my whole life, marketing and whatever, but I've never got a degree, so probably had a lot of self-doubt about, you know, capabilities. But then you start this and you think, oh, actually, you just start with one thing and then another. And I have to say, I mean, it's a lot of hard work. You have to put in the effort to be able to, you know, get to the point of. So I'm not going to say it's easy. And you do have to put in the time and, and I think that was a big thing.
Yeah.
Because you just don't believe in yourself. Really.
Yeah, and I think you kind of get into a bit of a comfort zone that you just stay in, you know, you're kind of, oh, you know, I'm quite happy here, just doing my own thing, you know, just kind of just ticking along. But you do need to kind of push yourself. You need to, you know, get out of that and give yourself a bit of a scare every once in a while and do something that really makes you, you know, think, shit, you know.
And you do make mistakes, but you're learning, you learn from them. I mean, you can't do everything perfectly. You can't, great, but, you know, there is like, you know.
You never get anything done.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Don't do it perfectly.
Yeah. So it was quite funny. I read like a comment on something on Facebook about a guy that he said, I think it might have even been when we did our video thing.
Oh yeah.
And he said something like, if you don't know all of this, then you shouldn't be in business or something. And it's like, well, I didn't want to get drawn into a comment about it, but it's like, well. A lot of tradesmen don't know this kind of stuff. You know, I was just on the tools. I didn't even think I would start running a business. But you know, you got to learn somewhere, don't you? And I think you just got to, one, you got to know where to ask for help. Well, first you got to ask for help, and two, you need to know where to find it.
And then three, take the jump.
And then use it. You know, and I mean the amount of like the really cool people that we've met, you know, over the past 2 years, it's just like the network of friends that we've got now is just awesome.
Yeah. So good, eh? Best part of it, I think. Cool. So what would you do differently next time? What lessons have you learned?
Sooner.
Yeah, good idea. Yep.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Saved myself about 20 years of my life.
I probably shouldn't have
procrastinated so much on a few of the decisions that we made. You know, you kind of...
You missed opportunities.
Yeah, missed opportunities that I kind of had a funny feeling that they were there, but I didn't kind of, like, pounce on them.
But that's also confidence, isn't
it?
Because you're not, you know, Jason's probably not, but doesn't do a lot of networking. So you know, like there's another guy around here and he's just told us that he's taken off all of his stuff. We're like, yeah. He doesn't advertise or anything, but he's been talking. And I don't agree in coaching, so I won't, you know, but he's obviously planted the seed in the branches or whatever. And so we sort of need to maybe, you know, just, you know, be ears open, like we work with Petty.
Yeah,
so and doing that. So, yeah, just counting on the opportunities when they present themselves, really.
And I think also, you know, like especially right at the start where, you know, we would sit down with you, Tony, and you'd say, look, Waco, you guys are this, you've got to do this, this, and this, and this. And, you know, it's probably that procrastination as well. You tend to pick the easiest thing to do, even though the most important thing might be the hardest.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of, you keep kind of mucking around, oh, I don't really want to do that. But, you know, I think you just got to act there. You just have to do it. And it just goes back.
It's massive. Because when you take action, you start to get feedback from the environment, yeah, from, and you know whether the decision is working or not.
Yeah.
In fact, what I reckon is the people who, you know, who I see get results most quickly take more decisions. They make more decisions and therefore take more action. The decisions aren't necessarily better, but they also make those decisions work. See, you can't know if it's right sometimes, but you make the decision and then you make it work as well, which I think is huge. Yep. It's something I've seen you guys do as well, which is, I think, pretty cool.
Yeah, I remember that text that around Christmas time, just bought the building. Oh, Tony, what have we done? Winners make, you know, choices and, you know, oh, yeah, that's true. Change mindset, yep. Be positive. You know, we've been in the building, what, now for 8 months, yep. And we've this payments way and all that.
Yep.
So,
yeah. That's right. And in 7 to 10 years' time, it'll be worth twice what you paid for it.
Yeah.
And it'll be paid off. Perfect,
yep.
which is fantastic. Okay, so look, guys, if you've got any other questions for Jason and Kirsty, hey, put them in the chat box right now. There's a couple there just before we wind up. Cody just said, how many square meters do you work with, and what does it have as a yard?
297. So it's just under 300 squares.
Yeah.
But it's got a mezzanine floor, so it literally doubles our floor space.
Yeah.
I mean, we actually toyed up with leasing out the top part of the mezzanine earlier in the year.
Yeah.
So we may do that in spring when this person brings in a couple of container loads of things to store. So that's how we thought we could get a bit of space. So, yeah, we don't have a yard, but we've probably got enough parking for 1, 2, 3, 6, 7 vehicles outside.
Good, big garage door, got 3 offices, staff room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. So probably long term, we'd take out half the mezzanine floor because it's a high stud.
Yeah.
And then we could, ideally, I'd like to get it bigger. But I'm still.
Yeah.
We're still in negotiations on that one.
Yeah. I think we sort of got it. I think I'd already bought it last year, but no. So once we take half the mezzanine down, we'll be able to get diggers and more vehicles actually into the workshops.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. So I guess just to sort of tie things up, what would you say to others who are wanting to grow and improve their business, you know, like you have? I mean, we're obviously all in the group looking to do that, and you've had some good success, obviously some challenges that we've talked about, but what would you say to others wanting to grow and improve the way you have?
Yeah, definitely do it. Go for it.
Yeah.
You've got nothing to lose, really. You just got to make that, you know, do your vision, find out really where you want to go, where you want to be, and then make it happen, really.
And I think you need to value yourself as well, so don't sell yourself too short. Because, you know, that's really important. You know, we all provide a really important service, and, you know, we're so undervalued. I mean, you know, it just frustrates me. Another thing is, like, use the guys that you know around you, you know, use the support and the people that you've met. Because, you know, that's been really cool. And, like, we joined Master Plumbers as well, and that's been really good for us as well, you know, with the network that they provide and you know, we've used the HR services quite a lot. So that was good. But, yeah, certainly just, like, use the network of people around you and you know, and the guys at Profitable Trading.
Yeah.
And I think what for me, you know, coming into the business and not really knowing much about the plumbers and that, and now I really see how, you know, undervalued the industry has been. You know, we're sort of, you know, there's people there that are selling themselves too short. I mean, they're probably on $15-$20 an hour if you really, you know, take that into account. So if we can all sort of be, just value yourselves and go for those margins that we need to. Because when you are having your own, you know, you've got your premise and you've got staff and all that, you actually do need to get those margins, because we're not at home anymore. We've got rent to pay. We've got vehicles to, you know, pay for. So we're not going to be like, you know, a one-man band anymore and be able to, you know, charge a little bit. But anyway, I think even one-man bands should be, you know, just looking at themselves and going, okay, well, value myself more and, you know, doing a few days' work and this is what it costs.
Yeah, massive, huge. And there's, yeah, we get a bad rap, both in Australia and New Zealand about kind of ripping people off. It's absolute bollocks.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, the amount of resources that, like the website that you guys have got, you know, the amount of stuff on there is just like phenomenal. I don't even think I've looked through half of it. I shouldn't say.
Well, and that's true. And I challenge everyone, you know, jump in there and grab the stuff. You should be watching a couple of even short videos a week, because it just helps with your mindset and gets you really thinking about new stuff, which is massively important for growing yourself and then your business.
Yeah. And like, you know, if you've got, like I did when I had my performance appraisals coming up, you know, I jumped on and I watched the little 10-minute text about performance appraisals and, you know, and asking the hard question, or I think was it asking the hard questions, there's one or something like that, or dealing with that?
Yeah, about how to deal with staff.
Yeah, so I watched those before, that was really helpful.
So cool, guys, appreciate it. Hey, I've got a question here from Fiona and Vic. How many of your staff are qualified and how many are apprentices?
So we've got two apprentices. We've got a first year and a second year apprentice. We've got one registered guy, but he's leaving today. And then we've got
a certified plumber. He's certified plumber, registered.
So Richie's a certified plumber and he's doing an apprenticeship in gas fitting at the moment. I'm certifying plumber, registered gas fitter, extended drain layer. Paddy's certifying plumber, gas fitter, and Brendan's certifying plumber, gas fitter.
So that's four and two, is it? Or five and two?
Yeah, five and two.
Yeah, cool. Okay, awesome. Adam, sorry guys, have to go. Found this very useful. Thanks for your time. Cool, Adam's in Queensland. Awesome, guys. So if you have any other questions, we'll finish up in a minute. Put them down. We've been talking for a while. Really, really appreciate your time, guys. Like I said, it's my absolute favourite thing to do, is to talk to people about what they've been up to, and really enjoyed watching, you know, what you guys have been doing. And I think there's huge future as well, which I'll keep giving a little push about too. Okay, cool. So I think that's all the questions we have. So thanks, Jason and Kirsty. Really appreciate your time, guys. Have a great weekend, and we'll finish up there, guys. If you have any questions on that, you can probably pop them on the Facebook group anyway. We could field them there later on. So great stuff, Josh. Is many thanks. Great to listen in. Very positive. It is indeed, mate, and really good to have you on board. All right, guys. We'll catch you soon.
Sweet. Thanks, mate.
Okay. Cool.
Bye.